This is Ozarks at Large. We continue our Monday collaborations with the website Ozarks Unbound this week. Christopher Spencer, the owner and publisher of the site, joins us on Mondays as we examine a variety of local topics. This week, the upcoming Fayetteville School millage decision. The district is asking voters on September 21st to approve 2.75 mills, which would generate, according to district estimates, about $51 million to complete Phase 2 of the redesign and reconstruction of Fayetteville High School. Our guests for the conversation include the Fayetteville School Superintendent, Vicki Thomas, the district's Chief Financial Officer, Lisa Morsad, and the Public Information Officer for the school district, Alan Wilborn. The ballot question comes just 53 weeks after Fayetteville voters turned back, decidedly, a larger millage increase in 2009. Christopher Spencer and I began our discussion by asking what district officials think is different this September. Superintendent Vicki Thomas answered first.
The biggest difference, I believe, is that right now we have a very focused plan. We've been working with our architects to come up with a very streamlined design. And the other very interesting thing is that we have one-time-only access to zero-interest federal bonds that will help us pay for this and actually, over time, save $29 million worth of interest and incentives for our taxpayers.
When you say one-time access, if voters don't approve a millage increase, what is it, by the end of the calendar year? That opportunity is lost?
Yes, we would have to return the bonds, the qualified school construction bonds, back by December.
I'm curious, so the $51 million, this $31.4 million through the bonds, is that within that 51 number? Is that right?
Yes,
it is. It's not an addition to.
Yes.
That's correct. The 31.4 will also be, or 31.4 will be combined with 19.5 of traditional bonds, and the two together will help us finance the project.
Well, I was actually there in September 2009. That was one of the first times you and I had actually met, Ms. Thomas. I did a video interview with you, I think, just immediately after the 60-40 results came in.
Yes,
and
sir.
You had actually been with the district. You came in July 2009,
That's
is that
right? Correct.
So really, you'd only been there maybe 2-3 months before this came to pass. I have to say, I would describe the atmosphere when those numbers came in as stunned among school administrators, that the number was, 60 against 40 in favor. And as a result, and that was for the $113 million high school expansion, as a result, you guys sent out 10,000 questionnaires. And I'm curious, when you got those answers back in, what kind of picture emerged of why people rejected it?
Basically, they felt that, first of all, it was very tough economic times. Secondly, that the price tag for the school was very large, and that they did not have a clear picture of exactly what they would be getting for that amount of funding.
And I know that through my own kind of interviews with people leading up to that, there was, and I guess I just have to say, there was a certain sense of some people saying there was a feeling of some perceived arrogance there with that original plan. Do you think that, if it even existed, has been dealt with in this new plan?
I think we're making every effort. We really tried to listen to what the voters had said. We went back in, relooked at the design, still trying to hold to many of the principles that had been gleaned from the charrette process that the community went through. And, for example, the small learning communities, those types of things, but yet narrowing the design within the scope that we felt would be reasonable. And the other piece was reusing a large portion of the existing facility.
Well, I guess even today, or very recently, there was a knockdown of one of the buildings, and some of that material is going to be reclaimed and maybe even reused. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, basically, we are demolishing Bates Elementary, which became an annex where our ALPS program, which is our Alternative Learning Center, is. And so that is being demolished as we speak, and we will be recycling some of that. But one of the things that our maintenance department did prior to the demolition was to go in and remove everything possible that was salvageable. For example, doorknobs, bulletin boards, those kinds of things. And we have those things in storage, and we feel like overall it will probably end up saving us about $20,000 because we can recycle those materials and use them. So we've tried to be very prudent with the taxpayer dollars and optimize them as best we can. Also, some of the concrete and the brick that is being torn down from Bates, we are going to grind up and be used as part of the foundation for the new sections of the campus.
Shortly after the election, the vote in September 2009, you asked people in the city, come together again with the Charettes, what you wanted from a school, what you would like to see. In the process of deciding how to transform the high school now, what was the discussion like for, because you can't put in everything everybody wants, were there things that you had to eliminate that you said, we just won't do it this time?
Basically, the original design, our thoughts from the Charette was that there would be separate buildings or houses, and I believe there were six of those, mm-hmm. six separate houses. And so what we've done is to go back in and talk about doing communities within one structure so that you don't have as many buildings, and that reduces the cost. And also to use, of course, a large portion of the existing high school, but just refurbish that.
5 weeks out, about, as we talk now, there seems to be not as much public discussion in 2010 as there was in 2009. Do you have a feel for how the millage is faring in, among the public opinion?
Well, I go into anything knowing that it is probably going to be a huge mountain to climb. We have a lot of education to do, and that's what we're about doing at this point, is trying to educate, get the facts out there. There is some misinformation related to it. Millages are getting blended and what those kinds of things, so we're really trying to make an aggressive effort to educate the public so that they can make an informed decision.
What does 2.75 mils mean to your average resident, let's say a $100,000 home or something like that?
That is $4.58 per month for a $100,000 of assessed valuation.
Oh, of course, last year's request was $13.56 a month, right. Obviously significantly more.
And I think it's an important point to make that phase one, which is currently under construction, we were able to secure $45 million worth of the qualified school construction bonds for that project. And we internally looked at our budget and cut $2.5 million out of our budget in order to optimize those bonds. The entire high school will be about $95 million when it's all completed, if we're able to do phase one and phase two. But for the taxpayer, we're really just working on the $51 million. So we're getting a $95 million high school for $4.58 per month.
If we wake up on September 22nd and it has not passed, what does that mean?
What that means is basically we have to look at how we can complete the building within our own revenue stream, and that means that possibly, you know, we want to stay competitive with salaries. We want to make sure that we have good quality instructional programs, those kinds of things, but we also need to finish the building.
And Alan, I bet you could probably speak to this because you've been with the school district for several years. There's, let's see, this last election did not pass, mm-hmm. and the one before that, as I recall, also?
Right, in 2005 did not pass. However, if you go back even farther, there were, I believe, nine different elections that were successful from 2005 back to 1990. Mm. That was the last defeat, was in 1990. And then from 93, gosh, 94, 97, 99, there were a number of election campaigns that were successful through that period. 2005 and 2009 were the first losses in quite a while.
You know, we looked at, the district looked at comparing the high school buildings in Northwest Arkansas, and when you look at, say, Harbor, for example, that was built in 2003, and you factor in inflation that's in the construction arena, it really turns out to be a comparable construction project. And then you also look at the fact that the majority of Fayetteville High School project is renovation versus new construction, say at Harbor High School in Springdale. That makes a big difference in terms of the cost per square foot.
We also have a very challenging terrain to build upon as well.
Is there any talk of potentially sunsetting a portion of the millage to leave it just for, you know, operations and maintenance? Of course, you've got your capital campaign to build everything, but at the point that it's built, has there been any talk about scaling it down a little bit? for just O&M?
They actually do sunset. The millage that's involved with this project is tied to the bonds that we're going to issue, and it's set up that it's tied to the longest maturity. And this particular bond issuance has $19 million of traditional bonds, which have a 25-year life. And so this millage that we're asking for will sunset in 25 years,
okay,
when those last bonds retire.
The money that's available through the bonds, that comes through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act?
Yeah, it's a program that's built to encourage municipalities, school districts, to enter into capital projects at this time in an effort to stimulate the economy. And it's tied to some laws, the Davis-Bacon Law, Buy American Act, that will stimulate local economies. So this is a big opportunity for Fayetteville. This project is utilizing bonds that will have a 0% interest rate on them, which is huge in terms of financing the capital project, and that will actually save the taxpayers in Fayetteville $29 million between the savings and interest and the interest that will be earned on the sinking fund associated with these particular bonds. So it's a great opportunity. It's a limited opportunity, like some of the other programs that have been offered through the stimulus package, and it makes a school district or a municipality consider projects at this time that they might have put off a year or two because of the incentives are so huge. These bonds will pay off in 15 to 17 years, which the traditional bonds that are also a part of this package will take 25 years. So you're saving 10 years in interest payments, which is just significant. And so I'm really excited about the efficiency of this financing strategy and pleased that potentially the whole project could be funded primarily through these kind of stimulus bonds. It's an excellent opportunity for us to accomplish a 50-year building with such a strategic financing strategy.
You mentioned a Buy America component to it. Are there some restrictions or incentives for using specific contractors for the work?
There are, and I can't tell you the exact details. The contractors can, and that the steel has to be made in America. The laborers are paid a certain wage, and it's primarily all the construction materials are American-made products. So it's a great opportunity for us to stimulate the local economy in Fayetteville. And there's some statistics that we've generated on our website that talk about how we're going to affect Fayetteville's economy with this project.
Lisa Morstad is the Chief Financial Officer for the Fayetteville School District. We also heard from the District Superintendent, Dr. Vicki Thomas, and from Public Information Officer for the District, Alan Wilborn. You can hear more from the conversation at OzarksAtLarge.com, including how the district plans to proceed with construction at the high school while roughly 2,000 students are attending classes there. These Monday conversations are a regular collaboration with the website OzarksUnbound.com and its owner and publisher, Christopher Spencer. The opinions expressed are, of course, those of the people saying them and not necessarily Ozarks at Large or KUAF. And in a moment, Christopher Spencer of OzarksUnbound.com tells me about his opinion, what he thinks of the proposed millage in front of Fayetteville voters this September 21st. This is Ozarks at Large. Our Monday discussions with Christopher Spencer from OzarksUnbound.com are called Unlicensed Opinion. And here comes his opinion. After the discussion with district officials, he told me he was preparing to take an editorial position on next month's millage election in Fayetteville.
That former election, I had some opinions about it. I didn't voice them. This one, I feel like not a bad deal. I feel like maybe, I support this one. I'll be writing an editorial in Ozarks Unbound in favor of it. And I think, you know, while it's not perfect, it's certainly time to move. I mean, expansion needs to be done. I like the idea that it's in that footprint of the existing school. It's not somewhere else. I think it's so critical to keep some central services downtown or in the immediate city central area, because they never come back once they leave. So I'm generally in support of it.
It would be interesting if it does pass on September 21st, if you sat down with school officials and school board members on September 22nd and asked them if they thought that this all had been a process leading up to this. You remember there was quite a bit of public discussion and public argument about where to have the school, whether to have two schools, whether to have 9th through 12th. Many opinions, many people with
Absolutely.
Hurt feelings. Then you had the millage turned down last year. Now, if it passes, I wonder if many people with the school district would say it was all worth it, and this is how a public discussion works. And sometimes it takes years to get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it fails, I don't know what the feeling will be at that point.
Well, it'll be a question too: how many people go vote in this election?
Absolutely,
it is a school election. It's not a general election, so
right.
Turnouts historically
are very low.
Lower. Although September 2009, I remember talking to the county clerk and finding out that was actually some record turnout for that particular election.
I think that speaks back to the public discussion we heard for several weeks, if not several months beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was getting something in my mailbox quite often about that at home. So,
pro or con? Like
both,
for or against? Both. Yeah.
Both. And you would go to farmer's market or you would go to someone's dinner party, and there were people with very strong opinions.
But this time, yeah, again, no real
Not
organized
yet.
Resistance.
Not that I have experienced.
Yeah.
So,
that's interesting.
Christopher Spencer is the owner and publisher of the website OzarksUnbound.com. Your opinions are welcome, too. If you have comments about the upcoming election or other stories and interviews you hear on Ozarks at Large, we want to hear from you. You can email us by going to either KUAF.com or OzarksAtLarge.com. We'd like to pass along your thoughts, opinions, and ideas to other listeners. Again, email us by going to either KUAF.com or OzarksAtLarge.com. We look forward to your comments.